We get the hour going by welcoming to the program a multi-talented performer through television, hosting her own series, appearing on a number of shows, great work in motion pictures, top 10 hits on the Billboard charts, and a brand new series that premieres on Sunday night called Idle Chat. We are happy to welcome to the program Susan Anton. Susan, thank you so much for being with us.
I'm so glad to be with you. It's good to actually hear your voice again. It's been a while.
Well, yes, it has. About, 40 years.
Isn't that amazing? I know. Isn't that amazing? Kenny Rogers, Gallagher, you, me. What a fun time.
Listen, I remember it. I don't believe for a minute that you remember it, but thank you for saying that.
Well, I kind of remember it. Come on, Rich. Who can forget you?
All I remember is this, that at the time, not to bring up your past things in our lives, we all have them, but you said, well, you're a little taller than Dudley.
Well, for sure. Yeah, no, when I was touring with Kenny Rogers, Dudley and I were dating at the time. So he would actually show up on tour quite a few times. And, listen, Dudley was 5'2½", I'm 5'11", so you got him beat easily, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Look, then I was 5'9". I'm probably down to about 5'8 now. But you know, I wear it well. But enough about you and me and our time together. I am so excited for this new series, Idle Chat, Sunday night on the Family Channel and Retro TV. And I love the concept behind it, a chance to revisit some of our favorite performers in a variety of areas.
Yeah, it was. I feel so blessed that they thought of me to host it. I got the email actually from my agent, and I was sitting on the couch with my husband. We were watching the evening a movie or whatever, and I said, "Babe, listen to this. This sounds amazing. They want me to host a nostalgia show where we reunite all these iconic casts from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even 80s. Probably can do the 90s in our next season." Where all of these incredible people are reunited to come and share their stories with us. And our very first episode is the iconic Leave It to Beaver, which I loved as a kid. So it was a thrill to meet Tony Dow and Jerry Mathers.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that Sunday night. The crew from Leave It to Beaver, Wally, the Beave, and Beaver's buddy, a very interesting guy we've had on the show, Stephen Talbot, who did all that work as a child actor and now is a documentary filmmaker.
Yeah, an award-winning documentary filmmaker, and also I learned when I was doing my research, we all, of course, remember Ozzie and Harriet, and I didn't realize that Gilbert's dad played Ozzie and Harriet's neighbor. So Stephen and his dad both had iconic TV shows on at the same time, and I think that's a pretty unusual thing for a father and son to both be starring in, these shows that are classic shows.
You'll also talk in episode 2 with cast members from one of the most iconic movies of the last 40 years or so, E.T., The Extraterrestrial.
Yeah, I tell you, what a thrill. I remember so clearly, I think everybody does, when they saw that movie for the first time and sitting in the movie theater and just buckets of tears rolling down our face. So it was really great to talk to Dee Wallace and Robert McNaughton about the experience of working with Steven Spielberg, who was just still carving out his brilliant career. And something that they shared that was so great was how Stephen was watching Drew Barrymore, who was just this little peanut of a girl, and, she had a lot of scenes, obviously, with E.T., and so there was a person inside the E.T. Costume, but when they weren't filming, the costume would kind of be laying there, nobody in it, and Drew was very confused about that, so Stephen appointed somebody to be in the costume at all times so that E.T. constantly stayed alive for Drew Barrymore, which was a brilliant thing for Steven Spielberg to do.
Wow, that is a great story. Want to ask you what it was like to go back and visit some old friends of yours. You had appeared a couple of times on The Love Boat. How was that?
Oh, what a thrill. It was, it was just like a homecoming. It was old friends. It's like no time had passed. And it was great to catch every single one of them is up to something fun. Bernie Capell's been on some award-winning TV shows, and then Ted and Fred, they're out doing Shakespeare all the time. Lauren and Jill both have some new shows coming out. So they're super busy, but it was so much fun to see them interact with one another. The genuine affection that all of these casts have for one another is you can really feel the many years that they spent together taking care of each other, you know, and all those long hours that they spent putting these great shows out.
You also managed to get the Pointer Sisters back together. How great is that?
Well, one of my favorite, you know, we have Anita and Ruth, you know, sadly June and Bonnie, thank you. June and Bonnie are no longer with us, but Anita and Ruth hadn't actually seen each other for a pretty long time. Their schedules hadn't allowed it, so they were reunited, and we were at the Hollywood Museum in front of their a massive display of all of the costumes that they wore over their many, many years that Bob Mackie made. And it was a bittersweet celebration of the four of them and, you know, all of their incredible music, which I've been singing forever. So I got to sing with the Pointer Sisters, and that was a delight.
We have been lucky enough to talk with a lot of TV personalities from this era, and all the folks from Happy Days have been on with us, and you'll be talking with Henry Winkler, Marion Ross, Anson Williams, Donnie Most, and I don't know, something about that cast all these years later, they are about as tight and as close as you can imagine a group of people being after all these years. There's still a lot of love there for each other.
There is so, you know, it is. There's so much love there, and you can see why. You know, because clearly Gary Marshall put together a brilliant cast, and the show was, you know, a landmark, and everybody loved it and watched it and was a huge success. But part of that, I believe, was the genuine affection that they had for one another off camera, which you could obviously feel in their characters on camera. And, you know, Henry Winkler is such a doll and always makes time for everybody. So we were really thrilled that he carved some time out of his really busy schedule to join us. And he and Marion Ross have such a cute Fonzie and Mrs. C flirtation. You know, it's really fantastic. And Anson and Don, everybody's busy doing exciting things.
Absolutely. Now, Marion Ross was a little body when she was on with us.
Oh, my God. She still is. I tell you, I think she's 93, I'm not sure, but she's like a little rock star, and it's so cute to see the way that the guys all, you know, take care of her. They you know, they make sure that she gets into her car okay, and that she has the things that, you know, they take care of her, like Mrs. C.
So many great episodes. You'll feature the Knott's Landing cast, the Lost in Space cast. And I have to ask about talking to Sid and Marty Croft and their world. I remember, and I was a little too old for it, but when H.R. Puffin stuff came on, I remember turning that on and saying, what in the world is this?
I know. You know, they were ahead of their time. There's no doubt about it. Land of the Lost, Sigmund the Sea Monster, like you said, Puffin stuff, and then Lidsville and all of that. But they also produced, you know, Donnie and Marie's show and just so many, many, many things. And, you know, they've been around a while, but their stories are so funny. I didn't watch a lot of this, too. I was a little old for it, but my husband, who's a little bit younger than me, he knew all about it.
We're talking with Susan Anton of the series Idle Chat, 8 episodes, premiering Sunday night. It'll be at 8 o'clock Eastern time on Retro TV, 7:30 Eastern on the Family Channel. And if you miss those, well, there's no excuse, but if you do, you can get the Real Good TV app and watch on demand as well. I have to ask you about some of the early stuff in your career. How important was Merv Griffin to your career?
Oh, you know, thank you for bringing Merv up, Rich. Merv was, he was pivotal. I mean, I don't know that I would have, I don't know if I would have had a career. You know, Merv, he was a fan, and he had me on his show, it felt like sometimes every week. And from that platform that he graciously gave me to come on and sit on the panel and sing, Fred Silverman, who was then president of ABC, signed me to a development deal over there, and I was able to do my own TV show, Cliffhangers, and Mel and Susan together. And then when Fred Silverman went over to NBC, I signed another deal over there and was able to do some more television series. Merv Griffin is directly responsible for so many great things in my life, and I'm glad to say that he also was a personal friend as well.
I'm sure I'm not the only person to say this to you, but man, did I love Golden Girl.
Oh, thank you.
That was, it was such a great movie, and what a phenomenal cast to work as a young actress with people like James Coburn and Leslie Caron.
Well, it was. It was my very first movie, and it was so great to be, you know, I was right for the part. They needed somebody who was really tall and athletic and all of that, and so it's like, great. I was really nervous, but, you know, when you're working with pros like that, they put you at ease right away. And I feel so blessed to have had the opportunity to get to know them a little bit and work with them. And I appreciate so much that you enjoyed the movie.
I have to ask you, what was the experience like speaking with working with pros? What was it like being around a fun-loving group, I assume, when you did Cannonball Run 2?
Oh, you know what? It was just a flat-out party. It was like... We were robbing the bank. We got paid to go to Arizona. Burt Reynolds, you know, smoking the band. I mean, Cannonball Run, the sequel, and he put together the most incredible cast because everybody wanted to go and be a part of it. So we just would, you know, go work, which if you want to call it that, for a few hours, and then we would go look at dailies, and he would have this amazing food, and we'd sit around and look at the dailies, and everybody would laugh, and then hang out by the pool. It was like one big party, and Burt Reynolds is just one of the sweetest people that has ever been in our industry. What a gem of a guy. He's dearly missed.
Now, back when you and I were hanging out together in Augusta all those years ago, you had a very successful top 10 hit on the country charts, a top 40 pop hit with a really talented songwriter, Fred Knobloch, of Killin' Time. Wonderful song, and I was always disappointed that we didn't get more recordings from you.
Yeah, you know, me too. I kind of dropped the ball there, I have to admit. I loved working with Fred, and I love the country crowd, and then touring with Kenny with that song. And then rather than following that up, I went to Broadway to do Hurley Burley, which was fantastic, with Mike Nichols for a year. So when you're doing a Broadway show, it pretty much takes all of your energy, those 8 shows a week. So unfortunately, I didn't follow up as quickly as I needed to. But, you know, it's never too late.
I'm glad you brought up Hurley Burley, because we talked a few months ago with Mark Harris, who wrote the wonderful biography of Mike Nichols.
I'm reading that right now,
Isn't that great? What was that experience like for you? Because he was such a unique director.
Well, you know, and I think that Mark brings it out really well in his book, and why Mike was nicknamed Dad to everybody. Mike had an ability to make sure that everybody felt seen and understood. He would direct in the most kind of like secretive way, in a way, because we'd be rehearsing a scene, and then he'd say, "Okay, let's take a break." And always made sure there were bagels and good things around. He said, "Let's sit around and talk." And so it's like, okay, but we would never talk about the scene. He would get us to all talk about ourselves and different parts of our lives. And then he'd say, "Okay, let's run that scene again." And I tell you, every single time, you go like, "Oh, that's the note I need to play. That's who she is." He was just really brilliant on understanding human nature and how to get your actor to put that into their character.
And it sounded, from Mark's book, like a lot of that was also an opening up and telling stories about himself.
Oh, he was very self-effacing, very, very funny, and obviously brilliant. You know, brilliant and sarcastic in the most lovely way, and you know, and when having Mike Nichols believe in you and that you can, you know, be up there doing that, that's a vote of confidence that certainly changed my trajectory forever.
Well, I can't wait for Sunday night to see episode 1 of Idle Chat, and I have to think it's going to be a huge success with your talent and then the wonderful people that you bring together. It's a little early still. Is there any talk of future seasons?
Well, we hope so. I mean, there is actually talk about it, and we're starting to throw some ideas around about who to get, because, you know, there's nostalgia is very, very big. I mean, and these shows are such a part of our American culture, our life, before we had a million platforms and channels. And, you know, a family had to actually look in the TV guide and go, "Ooh, what's on tonight? Oh, great, Happy Days. Let's circle that and make sure everybody would get together and share that time together with these people that became a part of our families."
I think that's a great point. It was a time when everybody was watching the same thing, and we had that common language, and everybody knew what Potsy had done that week or that kind of thing.
Exactly. You know, they'd be talking about that episode the next day. You know, so television was really groundbreaking. And especially, like, if you look at Leave It to Beaver, that was one of the first shows, I believe, that told the story through the perspective of the kids. Mm. It wasn't like, you know, the parents knew best. It was like, let's hear what the kids have to say and their perspective of what was going on, which is probably where we should be nowadays anyway. Let's just turn it all over to the kids.
Not a bad idea. Sunday night, 8 o'clock, Retro TV, 7:30 on the Family Channel. Idle Chat, an 8-episode run hosted by Susan Anton. Susan, it's wonderful to talk with you. We have to catch up more often than every 40 years.
Well, you know, yes, indeed. You know, I'll just start calling you with, you know, letting you know what I'm having for lunch.
That's perfect. Yeah, we would welcome that here. I hope it goes very well for you. We wish you good health, continued success, and thanks so much for making time for us today.
Oh, thank you for your time, Rich, and all the best to you and yours, and stay well, okay?
Thank you, Susan. Susan Anton, Idle Chat, coming up Sunday night.